So you might be surprised to know that when I preached my first sermon at my home church, it didn't quite go as well as I expected. While the service was amazing and the spirit was high and the people were very responsive, I would learn later that the deacons board was pretty upset that the priest had allowed me to preach a homily. You see, they had grown up with me in that church, and to them, I was just a young black woman who they watched singing in the choir, coming up in the church without adequate credentials to be on their altar. And even though they were able to acknowledge how God's spirit moved among us during the Mass that day, they couldn't see or move beyond my beginnings. And yet, God had a plan. Shortly after their decision that I should never be allowed to preach on their altar again, I was sent to Corpus. I ended up at Corpus, and today I stand before you in my fourth year as a Roman Catholic woman priest and my third year anniversary as your pastor. So I thought of that story today because in the gospel, Jesus too experiences a home community that struggles to move beyond his beginnings. After being completely astonished initially by the wisdom and the presentation that he gave them as he taught in the synagogue. At first they recognized and they appreciated the wisdom that he had given. They were blown away and astonished by where he got all of his talent, his giftedness. But then they began to factor in his hood, his place, his community, his family, his history that they knew. They struggled to be open to let Jesus be the full expression of himself, to self-define, and to demonstrate his growth in God. They had already defined him. He's from around here in Nazareth. And within a few minutes, they found themselves unable to move beyond his beginnings in that community. They only now heard him in the context of where he came from. You see, Nazareth didn't have a really good reputation by those who lived both inside or outside of it. It was a small village with a long history of political turmoil and religious unrest that included violence and divisions and uprisings and protest. Roman retaliation against the Jews for these revolts included burning their sacred buildings and selling people into slavery and massacres and punishment by crucifixion. Because often systems of power will use violence to silence oppressed and marginalized communities. Yet they refused to be silenced. Nazareth's dark history is what made Nathanael in John's gospel say when Philip said, "Come and see this Jesus of Nazareth." Do you remember what he said? He said, "Can any good thing come from Nazareth?" We all know Oprah Winfrey, right? She's a transformational leader who has touched our lives in many ways through her talk shows, through her movies, through her book club. You know, if Oprah liked your book, then it went straight to the top. But her beginnings would not have predicted her success. Oprah was born in poverty to a young teenage mother and a 20-year-old father. She was a sexual assault survivor at the age of 9 years old. She was a teen mother at 14 and a grieving mother when that child died at 14. With many struggles in her life and many struggles that had to do with racism. Once she said that her grandmother, who was a maid, who had helped raise her for a little while, told her when she was 9, "Oprah, one day you're gonna be a maid too." But Oprah didn't become a maid. She was more than her beginnings. She was more than her past hurts. Oprah placed her faith in herself, in God, and in Jesus. And she once said, "I knew that God was my father, Jesus was my brother, and they were with me." And so I just want you to take a look at the people next to you. Look at the person to your right and to your left. They carry a story. We all do. We come from a particular community, a history. We have relationships and experiences that shape us, that have brought us to this moment that we're in. But our past doesn't define all of who we are called to be. Jesus reminds us today that God is always at the ready to use us, to pull us through our past mistakes and failures and shame and histories and struggles, to use us to do something great in the world. So don't be surprised at what God is doing around you or in you. Get ready. When you are right now, where you are right now is not an indication of where God is taking you. It never is. Our progress forward isn't determined by where we live or what past we're carrying with us or even how people respond to us. There's always more to us than meets the naked eye. Amen? Because this package right here, it won't tell you everything. As quickly as Jesus is elevated because of his words and the things he was able to do, they took him down. You cannot organize yourself, friends, around how well people think of you or how critical they are of you. It can change so quickly as it changed for Jesus, and we can just never please everyone. So we must follow what God has given you to do. For it says in the next line in the gospel, they took offense at him. Now, over the years, I've had parishioners tell me how they grew up in the city, but in the mid-50s and early 60s, as racial tensions were rising and more people of color began to move into traditional white communities and neighborhoods, that they would experience pressure from family and friends to move out of the city into the suburbs. And even if it was an unintentional, the rising level of white flight during that era became a way to send an unconscious message to people of color that we take offense at you. You may remember earlier in the month of June this year, Pope Francis created a new law book, making it formally illegal to ordain a woman as a deacon, as a priest, or a bishop by making revisions to Roman Catholic canon law. It is another way that the church says to women called to the priesthood and ordained ministry, we take offense at you. Last week, Tom Reguilla shared his beautiful song, The Plight of Black Trans Women. When Black trans women are targeted, assaulted, and killed at alarming rates, which they are, it is a way to send a message to the trans community. We take offense to you. In fact, this week I checked on a Facebook page that I activated for the Black Community Focus Fund, whose mission is to get to zero on racial disparities within the Black community that are connected to historical racism. I posted two sentences on the page, and they read this: getting to zero on racial disparities requires focus. Sign up today to support the Black Community Focus Fund. And I put the website. Simple, right? Wrong. Right away, there were 25 anti-Black comments posted by white people on that page in response to those two sentences. Here's what they wrote. They said, "You're focusing on the wrong thing. Advocating for the Black community creates disparities. Racial disparities are brought on by lazyism. Right in the top of my brain. Anyway, you get the point, right? So it was just one racial assault after the other. But that wasn't the major thing. There was something that happened after that that even overshadowed what these group of folks were posting. One of the thoughts that I had was, this is why we need critical race theory taught in our schools and in our community, right? Part of the assumption here is that ignorance is bliss, that if I don't have to know, about the history of race, then I can say whatever I want to say. I can claim whatever I want to claim. But ignorance is not bliss. Imagine where we would be in our world if we decided we don't want to know about children's exploitation. We'd still have our children in sweatshops, wouldn't we? Imagine if we didn't want to know about the discrimination and oppression of women. We'd still be fighting for the right to vote, the right to work outside of our homes, the right to be paid an equal wage. Well, we're still fighting for that. And so it's important to have the information that we need in order to move our lives forward together. And so Jesus asks us to have faith. And you know, the original meaning of faith is really loving trust. Loving trust, because that's what Jesus had. Jesus didn't take offense at anybody. No group did Jesus take offense at. He ate with everyone, he welcomed everyone, and he saw something greater in each of us all the time. And he calls on us to be welcoming, to be loving, and to create a world that is just and full of faith, faith in ourselves and faith in those around us and faith in God. So Jesus ends today in this reading by saying, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin in his own house." So like Jesus, sometimes we too find our deepest struggles with those who are closest to us. It isn't the stranger that causes us the deepest hurt. It is those we know in our families, in our communities, who struggle to honor us, to embrace our differences, to make room at the table for the fullest expression of ideas and perspectives that may be different, to trust that we have full confidence that God is at work here. And that is the power of faith. That is how you have loving trust. Now, experts tell us that there are four ways to overcome a lack of faith. And these have been helpful to me. The first one is they encourage us to stop overthinking, which I'm very good at. Too often in overthinking, we jump to negative thinking first. That's our starting place. Well, what if this happens? And what if that doesn't work out? And I don't know about that. And we find ourselves running that tape, right? And once we get into that loop, it gets very hard to come out of it. The second thing they encourage is that when we're struggling to have faith, it may help to recall what God has done before in our lives that we hadn't expected. And if we think about that, then we will be better to prepare our hearts again to trust that God could give us another surprise. The third thing they ask is to be aware of what we are letting in to negatively influence the ability to have faith. So when negative thinking takes over, I try to work really hard to block it and resist those thoughts and inject different thoughts. Even Jesus understood the power of negativity. Remember last week as he goes in to heal Jairus' daughter, right? He removes the people in last week's gospel who have negative energy. They're laughing at Jesus like, "What? She's sleeping." The fourth thing that they tell us is to remember that having faith is a choice. When I marry couples, one of the pieces of advice that I often give them is I say to them, remember that you are in control of your beliefs. I invite them to decide that they're going to believe the best about each other and not the worst. Why do I do that? Because that is where God starts with each of us. And so that is where we are to start with one another, and we are to start with ourselves. So on this day, we celebrate freedom. We have faith beyond what we think we know about ourselves and about others. And we are called to always be ready for God to surprise us, to remember when we have those moments where we're really in doubt. It's good to just remember that God put God's best gift in Nazareth. So just as Oprah didn't become a maid, Jesus didn't just become a carpenter. He became more than his past. He became the Son of God. He became a teacher, a healer, and our best friend. He moved on from Nazareth, not holding a grudge, and he kept touching lives. His love and his leadership kept transforming lives everywhere that he went, where he found faith. So know that God is not finished with you yet, and you never know where you will be sent to bring healing to others. It is the faith we choose to have that will determine what our community looks like, our neighborhoods, our cities, our nation, and our destiny. When we change what we look for in each other, we will change what we see. And what do I see? I see, as I look out here and all of those of you on our live stream, I see that there is something deeply great placed inside of each one of you. And all that is left to do is to bring it forward in your hood. And to know that it wasn't a mistake that Jesus goes back to his hood to share his gifts today. The mistake was that they were not ready to receive him.